Bubba's gonna talk your favorite show. Gonna hope we don't ramble.
We like those with
different
cities, man. I hope this show ain't shitty.
Someone down to Afterbuzz and meet some hoes of
mine. Well,
we're about to have a show.
I'm getting pretty sick. Maybe. Of him calling my mom.
Well,
I'm
a
bitch. She's a big fat bitch. She's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. She's a stupid bitch. And
with over 20 years of amazing South Park, between the songs, between the jokes, between all the references. That's right. There's bound to be recurring elements of South Park, and we're here to talk about the greatest of them as we debate the best running gags on South Park in our South Park Weekly After Show. Allow me to introduce Christian Blatt.
Hi there, I'm a super big Kamehameha biatch.
And Steph Sabra.
What's up, everyone? I'm Steph Sabra.
She's just a regular size biatch.
And I'm not a regular sized biatch or above sized biatch, but I am above sized, you know what, with my you know what down there.
You know where.
That's a penis joke because South Park makes a lot of penis jokes.
And it never ends.
All right. For those of you joining us for the very first time, here's how this game works. We'll call it a game. Why not? Each of us get three picks and an honorable mention. We will list. We will go from number three all the way to number one. And you guys get to debate whether or not you agree with our picks. And, of course, you get to make your own list as well. So why not participate in the comment section or via social media, however you want to participate. Lots of ways to do it. And we're going to debate the best running gags on South Park. So, Steph, why don't you kick us off with your top number three pick. That is a running gag on
South
Park.
I'd love to. My number three pick is the beautiful, horrible relationship of Saddam Hussein and Satan. This relationship is quite possibly the most funny and controversial relationship, I feel like, on TV. And the fact that they continuously had it throughout a few episodes just shows you that they don't give a shit and will do whatever they want. And the fact that Saddam Hussein is even more diabolical and crazy than Satan is just funny to me. And the way that they have a triangle relationship with Chris, everything about the relationship is hilarious.
Love knows no boundaries.
Exactly.
It's true. That is one of my favorite things throughout the run of the show, and it's such an important part of the movie. My number three is a really important part of the show early on, and that's Mr. Hat. And I loved Mr. Hat because everybody just sort of treated it like it was normal. They all knew that Mr. Garrison had Mr. Hat, and it was great because Mr. Hat was basically a way for Mr. Garrison to say, even, you know, he said terrible things, but the most terrible things that he said, he could blame on Mr. Hat. And I love that idea that if we could all have a Mr. Hat, you know, just imagine if
Roseanne had a hat.
Exactly what I was going to say. If Roseanne had a Mr. Hat who could be like, well, Mr. Hat tweeted some racist things, so I can still have a TV show, just Mr. Hat can't be on it anymore. That's exactly what I was thinking. Anyway, and there's so many great opportunities for just hate to be spewed out of Mr. Garrison. Just really like racist and inappropriate things, which in the real world I frown on. But in South Park, I laugh very hard at it. And I think it was great. And, you know, there's a flashback where we see Mr. Garrison as a child in Weight Gain 4000. And we see that he has Mr. Hat as a kid. And it's so funny to think about because it's been so long since he's had Mr. Hat. You know, Mr. Hat hasn't been on the show in, I don't know, more than 10 years, I would think. It's been a very long time since we've seen him. I think 200 was the last time we saw him. And hopefully there's an occasion for Mr. Hat to return since Mr. Garrison's president now.
Maybe that's going to be the thing to save all of America.
Wow. That's such a good call.
Wow.
We'll see.
What if Trump had a Mr. Hat?
Think he does.
I think he does.
I think
it's called Melania. What's your number three choice, Phil?
It's my number three goes to good old Canada with Buddy and Friend.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's just, it's just so funny. And it, you know, your number three picks, while admirable, this transcended South Park because it became, you know, a cultural phenomenon. People who didn't even watch the show said it to each other. Like, I'm not your buddy, friend.
I'm not your friend, buddy.
And, you know, some people didn't know where that came from, but it was just funny to them nonetheless.
I'm going to jump over Steph because basically my number two is essentially the same thing. The Canadian accent, the way they talk, but also that style of animation that they use. The fact that all the Canadians look different. And, you know, Ike looks like that because he's adopted, you know, from a Canadian family. And just the idea that Canada's that different, where everybody talks like that. And, you know, there's only one road, the Yellow Brick Road, as we learned in the trivia episode. And it is my favorite thing because they don't use it that often. You know what I mean? It's like there was a Terrence and Phillip episode in the most recent season, and I was so excited because we finally got to see this style, and I love Terrence and Phillip. And it's, you know, they're all wrapped up in the Canadian accent and animation. And Terrence and Phillip are also one of my favorite things. So all wrapped up in the Canadian accent.
Mm. Well, here's a fun little tree. I know it's a little bit removed at this point in time, but the more recent Royal Wedding, if you rewatch The Royal Wedding of Canada, that one is a funny episode because, as is tradition, and you know, that episode was to parody, I can't say it's not the original Royal Wedding, but the Royal Wedding that we had only a few years ago, and now we have a new one. I love how the South Park episode still applies to the new Royal Wedding.
Good call.
Yeah.
So that just a fun revisit if you love Canada and jokes. Steph, what is your number two pick?
Okay, it would be really just a shame if we didn't include this. It's the deaths, plural of Kenny, our beloved Kenny. I mean, it's everyone who doesn't even watch South Park knows about this little boy just dying over and over again, to be exact, 97 times. And total number of episodes where Kenny dies is 98. He's died in possibly every torturous, weird, creepy, any way you want to put it, manner possible. And that's just pretty legendary that you just keep coming back for some more until he did have one cutoff where they were like, Kenny dies, but he's never really dead.
No.
He's a legend.
He's got 99 lives, but 100 ain't one.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when episode 50 aired, it was very funny because then they just showed that Kenny's mom would just have another kid, and so each Kenny really did die, but then she just has another kid. She pops out another, he's like, oh, this is the 50th time this happened, which I think that's very funny. And then the first two-part episode they had, Kenny died in the first part, and then early in the part of in the second part, he just rematerializes, and they're like, oh, hi, Kenny. And just the way that they treated it, and I think, again, it's a great testament to the show that it doesn't still happen every show. I actually can't. So you said it happened 98 times, mm-hmm. Right? So it's been a while since that's happened. But yeah, it was such an important part of the show early on, much like Mr. Hat. But the show's better than that. You know, they don't need to actually have that every episode. And yes, my favorite was the time where they had Kenny die, but Kenny's, like, I'm using air quotes, really died for a while.
Yeah.
My favorite was when Kenny had to die to save heaven.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And no one wanted to let him die. Best Friends Forever is, I believe, the episode that is called. My number two pick is good old Butters. Well, not Butters particularly, but Butters, you're grounded. Because he's always getting into trouble, not by his own doing. He's always constantly being called upon for the worst things by our four protagonists. And always leads him to being grounded. He just can't get away. And need Butters. I say more?
So yeah, when you think of some of the things that he's done that have led his father to say, Butters, you're grounded. You're like, well, I should hope so. Mm-hmm. That's the least you can do.
But it's just so unfortunate that his dad doesn't recognize that he is not the culprit.
Yeah,
there's
right,
a exactly. bigger thing at hand. And you know what? What I loved is the culmination when he was a little bi-curious, and then finally he stood up for it. Maybe we're all a little bi-curious. So
speak, Butters.
Good for you. Remember, he got grounded because Carmen was about to suck his dick, but then Carmen realized that that was gay, and so then Butters had to suck his dick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yes, indeed.
Normal Butters, you're fourth
grade stuff.
All right, this is the honorable mentions, the stuff that didn't make the top three list but deserves recognition. Steph, what do you got?
They took our gerbs.
They took our gerbs.
This just can never get old saying it. And it's been in a few episodes. We actually recently saw in White People Renovating Houses. First used in Goobacks, Margaritaville, and later in What WTF. And it's just, I think it's a really funny American cultural thing that's been happening where people think everyone's stealing their jobs, and just like a really funny take on it and just an addictive way of saying it. So it's perfect. And I want them to do it more. I don't want them to overdo it. I feel like they've done it the perfect amount of times where it is still reoccurring, but every time it comes up, it's like, yes.
No, it'll come back because they continue to take our jabs. Somebody else is going to take our jabs. My honorable mention could have been my number one, but because I already used Mr. Hat, I thought it was a little redundant. But I needed to include Mr. Slave because...
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. I just... When they introduced Mr. Slave, it was just so funny that he traded in Mr. Hat. And when I talk about Mr. Hat, I completely left out Mr. Twig, by the way. But anyway, that was a very brief moment when he was in a fight with Mr. Hat. But the fact that he replaced him with Mr. Slave... was just so funny because the joke in the early seasons was like, well, obviously Mr. Garrison's gay, but you know, he can just channel that through Mr. Hat. But then he actually has Mr. Slave, who is very stereotypical gay character, and you know, prominently featured in South Park is gay, and you know, a number of other episodes. And I was very glad to see him return two seasons ago during the presidential election, because you feel like, you know, the fact that you had a slave before your gender reassignment surgery, among other things, and becoming Mrs. Garrison. There's so many things that happened to Mr. Garrison. Just in general, he is so many running jokes throughout the course of the through the show. But anyway, so he gets my honorable mention because of, you know what? All you need to know is just Jesus Christ. This is so funny. I don't know. Huge fan of Mr. Slave.
Of your work.
Absolutely. He is down for the cause until that cause is a woman.
Yeah, he is not down for that cause.
No. My honorable mention is The Visitors. Back in Cartman gets an anal probe, visitors or aliens who come to Earth, and they give him the anal probe. And South Park's animators have hidden these visitors in many episodes. Some people will argue that they're in every single episode. The animators themselves have said that's not true. And it's, you know, but they're somewhere in the background lurking, watching over us. It's like the X-Files. The truth is out there. The visitors are out there. Indeed. So look out for them. All right. This is it. The grand prize of them all. The number one pick. Steph. Why don't you kick us off?
I think I did win this, you guys. Just if we're sticking,
I didn't realize it was a competition.
Yeah, well, I'm making it because
we're all winners in the game of South Park.
When I look at my picture, I learned something today that I won this because this is the overall arcing like connection of South Park. It's at almost every single episode, someone, usually children, they'll learn something and then do this huge speech or do it with each other, and it's so. Usually it's just completely ironic, weird stuff and weird ways of conceptualizing what just happened. But sometimes it is really like good advice. I'm like, yes, I love this. But it humanizes the show and it makes me think that there's so many dimensions of South Park. And I love how it wraps it up every episode essentially with it.
For me, also sticking to the early seasons, one of my favorite things in the early seasons was the fact that Jesus was a regular character on the show, but also that he had a call-in show to just, you know, you could just go to him with your problems, because you realize, like, if Jesus did live amongst us, all day would be filled with, okay, so what do I, you know, just, he wouldn't be able to go to the grocery store. Everywhere he goes, people would be asking him questions. So why not do it in form of a call-in show? And, you know, he would usually give like a little reference to the Bible, just a little bit in there. But the kids would call in with great questions, such as Stan asking, if your grandfather asks you to kill him, is it okay? You know, like assisted suicide. Things like, is homosexuality okay? These are all important things. And even though Jesus very rarely gave answers for a variety of reasons, I just thought it was funny that Jesus was such a prominent character early in the show. And it's the sort of thing that I always figure there'll be an episode where it'll make sense to them to feature Jesus again, or that, you know, to have a TV show. Although I guess now what he'd have a... he'd have a YouTube channel.
Oh my gosh, he'd vlog.
And Jesus Insta, vlogs. His Insta stories.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. The Jesus Insta stories. You gotta catch
the
them all.
Jesus files.
Absolutely. Well, mine. There's a very special place in my heart for Nimsy and Nathan. Mm. Number one for them. Number two, their hatred of Jimmy.
Yes.
They're always trying to just go after Jimmy, who has done no ill will against them. And it's just such a great running joke. We don't get enough of it, but the few times that we do, I am all in. Camp Tartica in particular, the special handicap Olympics, and then most recently with the football.
The
little water
bears.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just I'm for it. I think it's funny and I love it. They don't overdo it, but it comes back at the right times for me.
So. I agree. And they're like we've talked about this before, they're not just stereotypical handicap characters. They're actually cool and funny, or evil in the case of Nathan.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very inclusive for you to know that, look, even handicap people can be dicks, you know, and I think it's great that they do that. And yeah, I love their you know, catchphrases, everything about them. It's always exciting when you get to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed it is. Write to me, Timmy.
Timmy.
Well, that's our best running gags as voted by us. Of course, you are free and encouraged to disagree, although we hope you agree with some of them at least. Let us know your list. Happy to read it. It's a fun little part of the show that we always love, is the inclusion of you. Anyway, that wraps up this episode of South Park Weekly. We will be ranking next episode the best episodes from the first 10 seasons. So something to look forward to. So get your picks ready and debate with us there. In the meantime, at ChristianDMZ for Christian.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, and I have my own personal podcast called The Blackcast. Woo! You can find that BLADTCAST.com.
I find out something every day about you.
Did you learn something today? Did you,
I learned something
today. Did you learn
today
that I have a podcast called The Blackcast?
I'm really excited about that. Yeah, I just did, and that's a great name. A better name is at Steph Sabraw on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm at Phil Svitek. Thank you guys as always. We'll see you next time on another South Park Weekly.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, friend.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz,
see you later, buddy.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.